Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. It's Friday. Later in the hour, we will do our week in review, and it has been a monumental week with the inauguration of President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. They were sworn in on the same Capitol steps that a mob of pro-Trump supporters forced their way onto, threatening elected officials inside the Capitol just 2 weeks prior. Now, before we talk with you about it, we welcome Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley, who represents Massachusetts' 7th District, was at the Capitol during the insurrection and watched from afar as the new administration was sworn in Wednesday. She joins us on the line now. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Congresswoman Pressley.
Good to be with you, Tiziana, and Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, too. It is great to have you. I know that you were in isolation for the inauguration due to possible coronavirus exposure, and I do want to talk about that a little bit later. But let's start with the inauguration. You're watching from afar. How did it feel to you?
Well, the inauguration of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, it really marks a historic, critical transition from an administration that has really been defined by cruelty, corruption, callousness, contempt. And so to now have a president and a vice president who will lead with compassion and empathy, I feel relieved, I feel encouraged, and I feel emboldened, you know, emboldened to begin to deliver on the decisive mandate from the diverse coalition of voters that elected them, that made it possible for democracy to breathe another day, to advance, you know, broad progressive policies, and to begin immediately reversing many of the hurt and harms that were caused by the Trump administration.
I'm struck by your use of the word emboldened, because I've known you for years and always considered you to be quite bold. What are you emboldened to now that maybe you weren't 6 months ago?
Well, I was never shrinking in my advocacy because I represent a vibrant, diverse, dynamic district, but one of the most unequal in the nation, where in a 3-mile radius, life expectancy drops by 30 years from Cambridge to Roxbury. We know the wealth of a Black Boston family is $8, and that of a white Boston household is $247,000. So, representing a district like this, 53% people of color, 40% foreign born, my district has disproportionately bore the impact of many of the draconian, cruel policies and the emboldened rhetoric of this administration. So I was always fighting and I was always going big. I just did not have a thoughtful and committed partner to do that work with. And I believe with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, I'll have that. So immediately, when it comes to the full authority and the power of executive action, what I've been calling for the administration to do is to halt federal executions, you know, to immediately save lives, to cancel student debt. I see that as a racial and economic justice issue, but also one that is necessary for a just and equitable economic recovery from this pandemic. And then also fighting for 2,000 reoccurring cash payments for the next relief package.
What are you hearing back from the administration, especially on those first two priorities, Congresswoman? On the third, we know that the administration has a $1.9 trillion, trillion-dollar package it's interested in. But what about on those first two issues? Are you finding Biden and Harris to be receptive?
Well, first, I want to say they hit the ground running, okay? This administration heeded our calls to reverse the racist and xenophobic policies of the last 4 years. Again, I represent a district that's 40% foreign born. So the fact that by executive action, they made it a priority to restore those crucial protections for DACA, TPS, and DED recipients is worth noting. They also took important steps to combat the climate crisis, the COVID-19 public health and economic crisis, and then something else that I had been calling for, that is extending the national eviction and foreclosure moratorium. So I do want to give credit where credit is due. They have been strong out the gate. These are many of the things that I've been fighting for. We're in ongoing talks about the canceling of student debt. We're in ongoing talks about using executive action to halt federal executions. I am encouraged by the fact that Joe Biden, President Biden, said throughout the campaign that he wants to, that he is opposed to the death penalty. And so in addition to the what I'm calling for by executive action to halt federal executions and to resentence those currently on death row, I've also introduced a bill to abolish the federal death penalty. And I'm doing that in partnership with Senator Dick Durbin. Now that we've regained control of the Senate, he is the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And so I think our chances look good, you know, on those issues in particular. But I'm not going to let up on the pressure with the $2,000 reoccurring cash payments. I know that that is certainly what my constituents need. It's what they deserve. And I'm going to continue to fight for that. We have to go bold, Tiziana, because the hurt is deep. And so our response, both in this pandemic and beyond that, on social, economic, racial, housing justice issues, must be as far-reaching and as bold, as deep as the hurt is. And we have been experiencing unprecedented hurt. So
you're talking about deep hurt. We have this new hurt in the nation, which is the result of this armed insurrection into the Capitol on January 6th. And here in the greater Boston area, news that panic buttons in your office had been inexplicably removed prior to that insurrection caused a great deal of dismay. And I want to ask you, what agencies have you reported the panic button removal to? Have they given you any answers in investigation yet? And do you have any information if whether those removals were in fact related to the events of January 6th?
Well, it was unnerving to learn later in the day from my chief of staff that those buttons had been removed. That is currently being investigated. And so that investigation is underway. My panic buttons have been reinstalled. But it does beg a larger question, which is why within hours of this violent attack on our nation's capital, seeking to interrupt the peaceful transfer of power, in my capacity on the House Oversight Committee, I began to call for an investigation to know what individuals and agencies may have aided and abetted this violent insurrection. Donald Trump certainly has culpability in inciting this insurrection, which is why I also called early on for his impeachment and removal. So he will forever be the twice impeached president by this Democratic majority-led House. But he's not, he didn't act alone. There are members of Congress who I believe aided and abetted this insurrection by perpetuating this big lie and played a role in inciting this riot. And they should also be taken to account. And so that is why I'm supporting calls for the expulsion of those members. And then we have to thoroughly investigate. So in the House, we sought to impeach and remove Donald Trump. We honored our oath. I'm hoping the Senate will do their same, the same, hold Donald Trump accountable, impeach him so that he is forever barred from running for office again, and is held accountable for the role he played in inciting an insurrection. We need to expel these members who contributed to this. They need to be held accountable. And then we need to thoroughly investigate to better understand exactly what transpired and who played a role to ensure that a breach of this level never occurs again. But Tiziana, I have to say this. Donald Trump getting on a helicopter and going away, and at the end of this investigation, we'll have those answers. But white supremacy, you know, for many, the first time they appreciated the threat that white supremacy is to everyone, to American lives and our democracy, was when it came to the steps of the Capitol. And so as committed as I am to ensuring that our Capitol is never breached again, we need to do the work of rooting out the scourge that is white supremacy, because it is a threat to everyone.
Congresswoman, We have limited time. Excuse me just a second. We have a limited time. And while I'd like to stay on the Capitol, I also want to talk with you about the pandemic. I'm so sorry for having to clear my throat. I'm just a little congested today. Shortly after the insurrection, your husband, you noted, tested positive for COVID-19, and you expressed some real frustration and dismay over the refusal of some members of Congress to wear masks. Members of your staff are in isolation. How is he? How are you? How's your staff?
Thank you so much for asking. My husband and my staff are doing great. I want to thank everyone from throughout the Commonwealth who expressed their well wishes. We're certainly, not extraordinary. We're no anomaly. Thousands of families have been directly impacted by this pandemic. And so I want to send my love out to those who are grieving, who've lost loved ones. And I want to send strength to those who are being caregivers to loved ones right now who are battling this virus. But Conan is doing great. Certainly, I was livid. Myself and my colleagues and my staff and anyone who was in proximity to these anti-maskers who are my colleagues, that they would operate with such callous disregard for human life.
You then spoke out this week sharply criticizing the rollout of the vaccine here in the Commonwealth. You talked to the Dorchester Reporter, told them that you'd had some concerns for your own safety, but took the vaccine, wanted to signal to others that it was important to do so. What do you think we need to be doing better in the state right now?
Well, first, I want to again thank President Biden for acting swiftly. He heeded my calls along with Senator Warren to prioritize an equitable recovery by signing by executive order calling for, look, I'm inheriting your tickle here.
I know, it's spreading.
You're spreading it by calling for disaggregated COVID-19 data, which I think is really critical to mobilize much needed resources to hardest hit communities. We have not had a national strategy to combat this virus because of the inept previous administration. And their science denials. We have not had a national vaccine strategy. We now have that within 2 days of this administration. But yes, I think it is unacceptable for Massachusetts, which is a healthcare mecca, to rank 29th in the country when it comes to vaccine rollout. And so the process to date is one that has been disorganized and delayed. And I know there are a number of, I think it was 250 healthcare professionals and doctors who submitted a letter to the state as well, saying that we should be prioritizing those hardest hit communities. And I agree. And that's what I've been fighting for from the very beginning, both in our response and in vaccine access. I represent a district that has 15 community health centers. My district has also been hardest hit by this pandemic. And so we must prioritize those communities that have been hardest hit, and we can and must do better. We're a healthcare mecca. We have the infrastructure. It's unacceptable that we would be 29th in the nation.
All right, last question before I let you go. I know you are watching the mayor's race in Boston closely. We have two women of color declared as candidates. If Mayor Marty Walsh is as confirmed as Labor Secretary, Boston City Council President Kim Janey will become acting mayor, the first woman of color. What are you watching for in the race, and are you considering an endorsement?
Well, first, I want to say congratulations to this son of Dorchester, making history in his own right as the first union rep to serve as Secretary of Labor, and I'm excited to welcome him to Washington and to work alongside him on behalf of working people. I'm overjoyed for my sister in service and former colleague, Kim Janey, for the history that she's making as Boston's first ever Black mayor and woman mayor. And I'm committed to making sure that she is successful as acting mayor, as I partner with all the mayors throughout the Massachusetts 7th Congressional District. And I'm proud to call Councilors Wu and Campbell colleagues and friends for many years. I'm excited about their historic candidacies. What I'm really focused on right now is reversing the hurt and harm that has been caused by the Trump administration for the last 4 years. So working closely with the president, the vice president, our governor, and all the mayors in the Massachusetts 7th to address that. And then making sure that I get direct relief to our families that are hurting in the form of these $2,000 reoccurring cash payments. So those are my priorities right now. So far as the mayor's race, I look forward to a robust campaign that's going to really center critical conversations about the future of our city. And I look forward to seeing how it unfolds. But it's an exciting time, you know, historic and unprecedented in every way.
And that is Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley. She represents the Massachusetts 7th District. Congresswoman, great to have you. I hope to have you back again soon, please.
Thank you, Tiziana. Get this woman some chamomile tea, please. Someone.
I'm working on it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.